You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We are here for you after a 117-109 win in Minnesota. The Celtics doing really well after the All-Star break, 6-1 since the break. And a nice big win for the Celtics. We're the Rain of Jays. I am John Corrales of RedsArmy.com, Boston.com, Celtics contributor. Joined tonight by Jay King, Mass Live beat writer Jay King. And coming up, we've got we're going to touch on the Jaylen Brown thing, which was scary as hell. The bench was awesome tonight. We'll talk about that. And, of course, Al Horford, Kyrie Irving, starters doing their thing. The offense is rolling along. It's all brought to us by our good friend, Jason Manganiello, who is the best real estate agent in the business. He is going to help you buy or sell your home, and he's going to do it while giving back to the community. Jay, let's kick it off with the Jaylen Brown situation. So Jaylen Brown swoops in for this awesome dunk, hangs on the rim, slips off the rim, and falls, luckily not on his head, on his shoulder, but clearly, when he lands, he is either dazed, knocked out, concussed, something. He's disoriented, whatever. He walks off on his own. So I guess let's start with your reaction, and we'll get into what the Celtics say happened.
I sat there. So I'm not on this road trip, actually. And I sat there watching the game with my father, and I said out loud, holy shit. Yeah. It was just super scary fall. He was lucky it wasn't worse. Obviously, he's going to get tested for concussions. He's going to go through a CAT scan. He had to go to the hospital. It wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination what happened, but it could have been so much worse. He could have landed right on his neck. He could have not moved. It was one of those falls that he was like inches away from just a terrible, terrible fall. And you could see the Celtics out there were just totally spooked. And they're probably all scarred from the Gordon Hayward experience where they sat there and watched Gordon Hayward and that whole injury. Then to see it happen again with Jaylen Brown sitting there and the stretcher was wheeled out. The entire arena was hushed. It was scary. And honestly, the player reactions, the coaches' reactions – made it seem even scarier watching from afar because they were deeply, deeply concerned. Every player, every coach that the camera panned to just sounded horrible. And how about Reggie Miller? What? Reggie Miller like, here, let's show it again. Everybody listened to the sound, and it was like a deep thud.
That's horrible. That's just horrible.
Reggie, chill
disgusting.
Out, man.
Disgusting. That was so crazy. I'm going to say, when it comes to this, so Jaylen, I think, gets lucky here because he didn't just fall straight down. He kind of rotated enough, which is kind of weird. If you watch it again, if you fall straight down on the flat of your back, what ends up happening is your head snaps back and it hits the floor. Or just the force of it snapping back, I think, really does some damage. Now, I don't know. I don't want to speculate how serious this is. It could be something like he just got the wind knocked out of him and he's okay. And it could be something much more serious. We just don't know yet until he's fully evaluated. But I think the way he fell because of his momentum, and he just rotated over and fell on his right shoulder more than anything. He avoided his head hitting the floor. He avoided just the snapping back motion. And it looks like, aside from the shock and whatever was happening, he was obviously able to get up and walk off on his own and acknowledge the crowd. It wasn't like he was hanging over people and needed help to get back to the locker room. I think I'm hoping that he kind of got really lucky the way things ultimately turned out. We know that he went to the hospital to get tested. And according to the Celtics, there's a hope that he is going to make on the team flight. So Brad Stevens afterwards said Jalen felt pretty good leaving the arena. He went to go get a CT scan. He's with Minnesota's team doctor. And there is a hope afterwards that he might actually be on that team flight. So that, to me, is a big deal. They're not keeping him for observation. Potentially, they didn't wheel him out on a stretcher. So many things could have gone differently. Whatever it is, I'm just happy that he walked off on his own power.
How many years of med school did you go through, man? We got Dr. Corrales on the pod tonight.
Hey, man, it's been a long time on that court, man. I've seen things. I've seen a lot of things, man. But like I'm reminded a lot of the Michael Pietrus injury. I forget what year it was, like 2010 maybe, where he fell and his head snapped back. It didn't even hit the floor, but the force of it snapping back, and the concussion is just the brain hitting your skull, and the force of the movement, you don't have to hit your head. If your head, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but I remember, I've seen it enough. If your head is not snap, if there's not that whiplash type of thing, then maybe he survives this pretty easily, you know. And that, like, think about boxing. Not every knockout is a concussion. You get knocked out, but it's not a concussion. You just kind of got knocked out. So there's a possibility here that Jalen fell, and the angle at which he fell knocked him out, not concussed him. You know what I mean? Like, I do know, because I've had some training, that there's a point, like, on the jaw where you can kind of get hit, and it knocks you out. Knocks you unconscious, but there's no brain damage from like a concussion. So it could be something like that he lost consciousness, but he didn't get something, you know, serious. So we'll see. I said I didn't want to speculate. Now here I am speculating. But
yeah, you're out here speculating like a mug, man.
I know, but I'm just laying out possibilities. There are all these possibilities. So
anyway, it was great to see him walk off the court. And then Kyrie Irving and Al Horford put on a show in the fourth quarter. Shout out to Terry Rozier, who also hit a couple threes. How'd you like that segue, man?
That was fantastic.
I felt like it was time. I felt like it was time to move on to some basketball stuff.
I agree. It was time.
So, yeah, Kyrie and Al. I mean, Kyrie came back from a one-game injury absence, looked totally normal. He shot 9 for 15 from the field, 8 assists, 23 points. Went on a killer stretch in the fourth quarter where he had 6 points in a minute and a half. And then Horford did it all. And Marcus Smart, man. Marcus Smart was just a bully.
Man. Can we talk about that putback dunk for a second?
We can talk about it for a lot longer than a second.
I don't know what else there is to say besides, holy shit, did you see that putback dunk?
Yeah, that's about all. Marcus Smart, when he jumps off 2 feet, he can kind of fly. And it's weird because he has such strange athleticism. When he's going to the hoop, he struggles to create separation a lot of the time. He can't really bounce like a lot of guys do. And then when he's going for a layup like that and he can jump off 2 feet, he just soars over everybody. So it was a perfectly Marcus Smart game today. One of the most Marcus Smart games in a long time. He was just a a mean man. Like, he switched on to Taj Gibson on the block on one play. That was probably my favorite play of the entire game.
I agree. I made a note of that one, too.
Kyrie Irving was switched on to Taj Gibson, and the Celtics obviously know you can't have Kyrie Irving on Taj Gibson. So Smart pulls off the double switch, runs over to take Gibson away from Kyrie, even though Smart's a guard, too. Like, let's just point that out there. Marcus Smart, also a guard, giving up 5 or 6 inches to Taj Gibson on the block. But the Celtics, they don't even double. They're like, yeah, Marcus Smart's got that. No big deal. We don't need to send any help his way. He's got it one-on-one. No big deal. And he
didn't need it. Gibson, he didn't need the help.
Gibson couldn't move him. Gibson tried to turn into the paint, and Smart just snatched the ball away. Just give me that. It's wild how he treats people 5, 6 inches taller than he is like children. And he does it pretty routinely, but it's still kind of jarring to see when Marcus Smart does stuff like that. And he did a lot of it today. He was, especially in the first half, he totally controlled the game while being 2 for 6 from the field. Who does that?
That Marcus Smart does that. Marcus Smart. You know who else might do that? Al Horford might do that sometimes.
Yeah, he kind of did it in the first quarter.
Yeah. Just shout out to Al Horford. And he had a big statistical game, which I think will satisfy some of the haters that we've been talking about all week. The overall numbers look great. 20 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. So if Hank's out there and you're listening and you want to write a piece about raw numbers, there you go. 28-6 is fantastic. Shot 57%. But the numbers that I like more are 5 of 12, which is what Karl Anthony Towns shot, 41% from the field, 15 points, and a minus 11 for Karl Anthony Towns. And a lot of that, it's not all Al Horford, but it's another example of the opposing team center struggling to score against Al Horford. We've seen it all season. Embiid has had a fantastic season. He has not played well against Al Horford. Opposing centers come in to play Boston, and Horford tends to defend them all pretty well. So it's another guy. But Smart and Horford, two guys who've been getting a ton of shit. They are two of the most important players, and both had big games tonight.
Marcus Smart hasn't been getting shit recently.
Not recently, but
ever since he came back after the All-Star break, he's just been a stud. He's played so well. It's funny because people joke about how the snow day changed around his season a few years ago, and then this year, you know,
frame day,
like glass and knuckles day. He just smashed a picture frame and come back playing a lot better basketball.
That's it. Before the game, he was asked why he's shooting so much better, because he was shooting coming into the game 60% from the field. And he said, my new hand, which is hilarious. And people making the requisite Luke Skywalker jokes. But
yeah, I don't know those. I've never seen those movies, man.
Oh, Jay.
I'm sorry. Oh, well. I knew that one was going to bug you.
Yeah, that one does bug me. That one does. That's all right. I've got things that bug you, too. So that's fine. I never watched The Wire. So there you go. We're even.
Oh, well, that's really freaking stupid of you.
No, you haven't watched Star Wars. So you have nothing to say. You have nothing to say.
The Wire's on a better level. That's a fact.
That's
Star Wars is child's crap, man.
Oh, that's it. We are fighting. The next time I see you, we're throwing hands, my friend.
Yeah, well, I'm a grown up, so.
All right. Let's take a moment here to discuss our friend, Jason Manganiello, who is trying to buy or sell a house for you. So Jason Manganiello has been at this game for about 15 years now, part of the residential group, top selling group, number one in Massachusetts at William Ravis, now for 9 years running, probably longer. Once by the time you go and work with Jason, he knows what it takes to get you into any kind of house. A condo, a mansion, whatever. He has that personal touch, and he's backed by a big firm, so he can get the job done for you. You can go from the basics with Jason. You want to just think about it. He'll send you a first-time buyer's guide. If you want to sell, if you want to buy, he will walk you through the entire process from start to finish and make it super, super easy for you. The best part about Jason is that he finds it essential to reinvest into the communities in which he works. So he donates 10% of his commission to a local nonprofit designated by the client. That is you, the person who is working with him. You tell him where you want 10% of his money to go, and he will donate to that nonprofit. So it's up to you. And if that's not cool enough, you get to go to a Celtics game for all of it. If you get that first time buyer's guide, he enters you into a drawing to go to a Celtics game. If you actually buy or sell a house with him, he will just flat out send you, here are tickets to the game. If you refer a friend, you don't even have to do the buying or selling. You just tell your friend, a family member, hey, Jason Manganiello is giving away tickets. You go to a game as well. So I'm telling you, he's the guy to work with. He's a Celtics fan. He's a listener of the show. He's active on Twitter. He's one of us. So keep it in the family. If you're looking to buy or sell a house and you go to Jason Manganiello, you can call him. I assume text him as well. 617-877-5694. 617-877-5694. Or email him, lockedonjason@gmail.com. That is lockedonjason, and you can even spell it with the Y like Jason Tatum, lockedonjason@gmail.com. Celtics bench, Jay, outscored the Minnesota bench 42-20, continuing the trends post-All-Star of the Celtics bench being good. And we saw Marcus Morris have another good game. 17 points off the bench, 5 rebounds, even a couple of assists. He shot 47%, 3 of 5 from 3. This dude is on fire. Terry Rozier also continues to be on fire. 13 points, 50% from the field, 33% from 3, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals for him. This bench is... The Celtics offense is humming along. They scored 117 points. This bench is a gigantic part of that.
Yeah, and we might have to start calling Terry Rozier Tito Ten Sticks if he continues to score in double figures every game.
I know
that would be some blasphemy, but no, the man scoring double digits every night, his shooting has been a huge, huge lift for the Celtics. Because, I mean, he was missing a lot earlier in the season, clanging jumpers. Now he's a sharpshooter. And Marcus Morris, same thing. I thought the Timberwolves, without Jimmy Butler, they just had tough matchups everywhere. Like, they don't have any real wings off the bench. They have to play two bigs. They have to play Bielica, whatever the heck his name is. Don't make me rehash his name, because Reggie Miller talked about it for like 4 hours on the damn broadcast.
Jay. Nemanja Bjelica.
There you go. Whatever his name is. But he can't guard the Celtics wings outside. So he had a great game otherwise. 30 points, 12 rebounds. He was really good. But they just have too much size, not enough speed to match up with the Celtics. And Marcus Morris just had a pretty easy time getting buckets. He was just able to walk into whatever he wanted, able to shoot spot-up threes with nobody on him. And that's not to take away from what Marcus Morris has done recently. He's been great, but the Timberwolves is just a really tough matchup for them. I thought it was interesting when Brad Stevens went to Greg Monroe and Daniel Tice together in the second half after Brown got injured, and I think it was kind of Stevens knowing small lineups would probably work better against the Wolves, but still being like, yeah, you know what? I got to get these guys some playing time. We're up pretty comfortably. It'll be okay. So I felt like that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Stevens did want to go to the two bigs against Minnesota's big lineup. But it felt like that after all the success the Celtics had going smaller. But yeah, the bench just keeps doing it, man. It's basically every game since the All-Star break. You look down and those guys have huge, huge plus-minus yep. numbers. They've just been great.
Yep. It's been fantastic all the way through. And I think it's been, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, Marcus Morris starting the season late, and then after he started the season having the knee issues, I think all of that kind of added up to a bigger struggle. Now, he's shooting like out of his mind since the All-Star break, and that's probably not entirely sustainable, but I do think that there's a comfort level that he has reached that's kind of new, because he's finally healthy and he's finally gotten used to what the team wants, what his teammates want. And I don't know. I mean, he's still out there kind of ISO mooking his way through the game, but it's like the way I turn that into a verb.
I think that's my favorite verb in the world.
ISO mooking.
I'm gonna just ISO mook on all over bitches in my next men's league game.
Yep. I like it. I just came up with that. I like using it as a verb. I'm actually one of those. It's one of those moments where I'm kind of proud of myself. ISO mooking his way through these games. But he's just doing really well. I mean, I just feel like he's found some sort of groove. And if you look at his numbers pre and post All-Star, his offensive rating is up, but his overall, like, he's not averaging a ton more points. He's still averaging just about 12 and a half points. He's still getting the same amount of rebounds and assists. His field goal percentage is up to 44%. His true shooting is still about the same. He's just, I don't know, I feel like he's just a little bit more efficient, and his plus minus is off the charts now. Post All-Star, his plus minus is just about 9, where before he was a minus 1. So
I think his activity is a lot different. I think his mobility is a lot different. You see him getting hustle plays he didn't get earlier in the season. He's definitely looked a lot more healthy lately, and that's a big deal, because he's going to play a big role. The Celtics need him when they go small, and the better he plays, it feels like he's really important for them. I know he's not probably one of their 5 best players, but he's just an important player, because he can let them give them the opportunity to play in different ways with smaller lineups and switchier lineups. So we've said it all along, Marcus Morris, very important. And lately he and the rest of the bench have just been so good.
Yep. They have been. Okay. Why don't we head to Twitter and get some of these Rain and Jay's Rain and Junk questions out of the way. At Robert Denton wants to know, all righty, 46 wins and 16 games to go. What is the C's final win number? More than 53 or less than 60?
Yes. I'm going to go.
They can win 10 of those games.
16 games left. I'll go 56 wins.
Okay. So, yeah. So they'll go. So
10-6.
10-6. I'll be. Yeah.
11-5, 10-6. Yeah. 56, 57 wins.
56, 57 wins, which is about what we thought. I remember a while back when they were on a pace to win like 63. I just didn't think that was possible. 56, 57 wins is. Sounds about right. That sounds about right. So, great. At JL Smooth 2021, Charles Barkley must have nightmares of Lucky the Leprechaun at night. Strong hatred of the Celtics. Yeah. Before the game, Barkley just basically dismissed the Celtics out of hand and said, it's either Toronto or Cleveland. And he's like, Boston's not in it. Like,
well, he also said they're gonna be hell to deal with for years to come. So it's not like he was all sour about the Celtics. He just thinks they're too young, I think, to come out of the East this year.
Which is, I guess, yeah. It, when you say it that way, it sounds fine. But what's the difference between the Celtics being young and Toronto being young? I mean, their bench is all like young guys.
Fred VanVleet is like 45, even though he's 23, though. He spent 20 years at Wichita State.
That's true. That's true. Interesting question. Side note, interesting question posed tonight. Do you want Fred Van Vliet or Terry Rozier? If you could pick one right now.
Okay, this is unfair because Fred Van Vliet has been my favorite player dating back to his Wichita State days.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My my brother has a Fred Van Vliet jersey from the Wichita State days. So the King family is overly high on Mr. Van Vliet.
Really?
I'm a huge Van Vliet guy. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not ashamed to say it. It's
no shame. Look, he's carved out a very nice little career for himself here. He's done well. I think it's a legitimate question. I mean, obviously, I'm a little partial to Terry Rozier, our boy Tito.
I would still pick Rozier long term. I think I'm not sure who's better this year, but long term, I just think Rozier has a different level of burst, a different level of athleticism, a different level of upside that Van Vliet just, I don't think is going to be able to touch. So I've got Rozier in that anyway, but it pains me to say it because I love Van Vliet, man.
Okay. What is it about Van Vliet that you love?
I mean, he's just a tough, tough prick who... who, like, he shouldn't be as good as he is. What is he, 5'11", 6 feet? And
yeah, he's like 6 feet.
Doesn't have elite athleticism, isn't super long, kind of was overlooked his whole life, and just has kicked ass his whole life. There's never been a point where he didn't kick ass. He's just always kicked ass whenever he's gotten a chance. So, shout out to Van Vliet, man.
All right. That's cool.
Him and Ron Baker, that was my favorite backcourt ever.
Okay. I'm shocked, but that's okay. We're going to move forward here and let the listeners just kind of soak that in. At Ronaldo Rio 82, Al Horford had himself a very good night. He was excellent. Hashtag wasn't average tonight. I just love that everybody's kind of latching onto all this stuff.
Hashtag is never average.
Is never average. Yeah. At Jake Eisenberg, I wonder if Hank has noticed how good Al's D on Cat was. Shout out to Hank for writing the worst goddamn article ever.
My man, Hank.
Connor Sharp, I think sitting Kyrie until the fourth quarter where he can come out and wreak havoc on fools is a tactic the team should consider. He was, by the way, on a minutes restriction because of the knee. So I think there was maybe some holding him back. He played 29 minutes, which is pretty good for a – I mean, the Celtics seemed in control, but Minnesota kind of kept it close. They kind of hung around, and they actually outscored the Celtics in the second half. It was just that big second quarter that kind of carried the Celtics through. So, but, yeah, I mean, look, the longer you can sit your starters on the bench – and have your bench carry you through these games, especially towards the end of the regular season, the better, because it just keeps them healthier during the playoffs.
Yes, sir. And the bench the bench lately has been a huge plus. It's wild that the Celtics bench, which for so long was just like a pit of bricks. it was the bench stepped on the court, the offense screeched to a halt, everything just perished. And now all of a sudden, it's like free-flowing offense. Marcus Morris is hitting everything. Terry Rozier hasn't missed in like 4 weeks. Marcus Smart is playing like supremely controlled basketball, just running the show on both ends. It's impressive how much they've turned around that bench group and kind of figured things out over these last couple of weeks. And it hasn't always been the best competition, but the consistency with which the bench has played is hugely impressive and a huge, huge change. And now you look at like the Celtics, they don't fall behind by double digits anymore.
Yeah.
And they're actually able to build big leads. Whoa. It's amazing what happens when the bench starts to play well.
Yep. I think you guys made a great point also that there's, you know, Marcus Smart being back and Morris playing the minutes he's playing. That means less minutes for Shane Larkin. We're not seeing Abdel Nader minutes. Semi Ojeleye is restricted. Gershon Yabusele's not playing. Obviously, he's in Maine. Those guys were getting a lot of minutes earlier in the season. Now your bench rotation is pretty set. It's Morris, Smart, Rozier, and some mixture of Tice, Monroe, whatever. But those are your guys. And now that Morris is figuring it out and Smart's playing better, Rozier has figured something out. Like, that's now all of a sudden your bench seems pretty good. The bench is actually kind of living up to some of the expectations that we had earlier in the season. So we're just seeing better, like I think Sam said yesterday, like, better players, you're going to get more buckets. So that's fine. At Robert Denton, man, if you watch a game like tonight, you realize how good Horford is. What a badass. Forget his points per game. This is a player putting in solid, smart work. I will say, back to your point from yesterday, if you're one of those people who hates on Al Horford, it's a commentary on you. You probably don't watch the games. And
also, can I just say, if I make a Newsies reference, will you understand it?
No.
Oh, man. But our man Denton.
Go ahead.
To all the Newsies people out there, our man Denton. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Well, I mean, Kyrie Irving is a Broadway guy. He'd probably, get that reference.
Kyrie knows what I'm talking about.
Sure. I didn't realize you were a Broadway guy.
More the movie Newsies, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Great movie.
Okay, sure.
Christian Bale, man.
Sure.
Jack Kelly. Okay. Yeah.
I admittedly do not watch a ton of movies, so that's all right. All right. Ray and Junk hashtag Micah Malloy. Marcus Mookmore is hitting his stride in the second unit and bringing out his spin cycle move, looking like Kyrie out there. Yeah. A couple of people were joking about this on Twitter. If you're not bringing out that spin move, you're just not trying. Morris was spinning. Kyrie was spinning. Everybody was spinning today.
Morris's one spin was wildly ineffective. that was one of the crazier misses of the year. We've gotten this far also, and we haven't talked about Jason Tatum's putback, which was just he extended that extendo arm of his and reached back like 20 feet behind him and just calmly tapped it in.
I felt like he froze in the air for a full second. Like he reached back, he grabbed it, and actually he lost control of it for a second, but then he just slowly kind of glided and guided it into the rim, which is fantastic. You know, Jason Tatum actually had a pretty low-key, really good game. He didn't, nothing particularly flashy with him, with 12 points, 5 rebounds, solid, but that's... Yeah, I thought he did. I thought he did pretty well.
It was a Jason Tatum game.
Very Jason Tatum game. All right. Any other final thoughts before we wrap this sucker up?
Another play I wanted to mention: Terry Rozier's the play where he jumped into the air to shoot a three, and then realized, oh shit, this is going to get punched into the fifth row, and
he got it to Tice,
and just launched a wild pass to Tice that somehow ended up being okay. But yeah, that was one of my favorite passes
Tice
of the night.
Tice made that play. Yeah, that was really funny because it was Rozier, the oh shit moment, got it to Tice. Tice made a crazy catch, back to Rozier, and then Rozier kicked it over to Morris for a three in the right corner.
Yep.
So yeah, that was a fun play. That was one of those plays that Daniel Tice should not have, like, I don't know how he caught that. But he did, and he made that play. Rozier was like, oh, no. But it was fun. That was a fun play as well. Lots of fun play. Terry Rozier, he had a fun breakaway, too, where a couple of breakaway plays, he's like super fast. Like, you don't realize sometimes how fast Terry Rozier is.
Yeah, and then he puts it in the next gear and just says, see you later, to everyone behind him.
Yeah, that was nuts. All right. Nice win for the Celtics tonight. Again, 117 to 109. The Celtics now still 2 games behind the Toronto Raptors. They are now off until Sunday night. So nice little break in the schedule. They play Sunday night at home against Indiana, then Wednesday against the Wizards. That's an ESPN game, an 8 p.m. game at home. So nice. Get some rest. Hopefully Jaylen Brown is okay. And we'll see whenever he comes back. But luckily he's doing all right, and he walked off on his own power. And we'll see. In fact, a late update just now from the Celtics. Jaylen Brown will travel with the team tonight back to Boston. So that's a very, very good sign that Jaylen Brown is okay. They're letting him fly. He's going home. So that's a very good sign, and we'll see whatever happens from there. All right, Celtics win. Remember to go check out our friend Jason Manganiello, the best real estate agent in the business, who's going to buy or sell your home, and donate 10% of his commission to the charity of your choice, and send you to a Celtics game if you work with him, or refer a friend or family member to work with him. And you can contact him at 617-877-5694 or by email at lockedonjason.com. Reminder, please subscribe to the show if this is your first time listening. We hope you enjoyed it. If you are a subscriber, you have not rated us, please, a 5-star rating would be fantastic. A little review would be amazing. And share the podcast, spread the word, tell people to listen to us, the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, J. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics, Millie.